A Study in Job, Part 7. Again Satan Smote. Satan had proclaimed, "He will curse thee to thy face." But we read that Job humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. And then Job worshipped again and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Again, Satan smote Job. Again. As soon as Job cried in his bitter anguish, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," Satan's first attempt to shipwreck my bond slave Job ended in defeat. Satan's first deadly plan to cause Job to err against God's way was defeated. Satan was defeated by Job. The first time the evil one moved against Job, it was to afflict him in spirit and soul. The second time Satan smote him, he smote him in the physical realm as well. The enemy was seeking to devour the plan and purpose that God had for his servant Job. Just as today, the enemy seeks to overthrow God's plans in the life committed to him. Again, Satan came to present himself before the Lord. Again, Satan was summoned by the Eternal One to give an account of himself. Again, the Sovereign Lord, who is always progressing towards his perfect plan, permitted Satan to again afflict his servant in order to accomplish his eternal purpose, that Christ should be all in all, the focus of God's plan from eternity past. And so we read, again Satan smote Job. From start to finish, Job is a wonderful type of God's whole plan for man. James in chapter 5 verse 10 tells us Job is for an example of suffering affliction out of patient endurance. And so for a second time we are told that again Satan smote Job. In some of Scripture's most intense spiritual struggles, we find this word, smote. Time and again, God divides Satan against his own evil self. To smite himself. For Jesus tells us that if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Satan's evil angel of death smote the Egyptian firstborn. But Satan was defeated. He was overcome by the blood of the Lamb. God permitted Christ to be smitten through the evil manipulations of Satan. But Satan was defeated. He was overcome by the blood of the Lamb. In the day when the accuser of Job, the accuser of our brethren, is cast down, and as with all the saints of God, we discover the one way to overcome the enemy. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. See Revelation 12, verse 11. God permitted Satan to smite Job in this unseen realm of spiritual warfare. Not because God was having sport with Satan or Job. Not because God was indifferent about Job's bitter anguish. Not because God was angry with Job or unresponsive to his torment. Job was one of a handful of saints that we know were deeply beloved of the Lord, for Job was one of these three men. Of Ezekiel 14, verse 14, Job was a man that was more deeply trusted by the Lord than most. Job was a man of faith, one that feared God, we read in Job chapter 1, verse 1. The Hebrew Interlinear Translation says it this way: "And Jehovah said to Satan, 'Have you set your heart on my servant Job?'" Just as Satan set his heart on Peter to sift him as wheat, so Satan desired Job, in the same way Job desires all who through their own Job experience can say with Paul, "It is not I that live, but Christ that lives in me." Galatians 2:20. Like Esther, both Peter and Job were trusted to overcome in the spiritual battle. And like Queen Esther, both Peter and Job could have been asked the question, "Art thou come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" as we read in Esther chapter 4. God permitted Satan to smite Job in the unseen realm of spiritual warfare, because Job was a man of exemplary faith within his generation, because Job was a man that was more deeply trusted by the Lord than most. Job was a man who understood the power of continual prayer and praise. And yet, despite his ongoing piteous pleadings for answers and vindication, yet the heavens remained closed. When God permits Satan to sift and to smite, God always has his eternal plans and purposes in view in their life, so that the eternal plans and purpose of God should be fulfilled, so that Christ should be all and in all, to the praise and glory of his holy name. Oh, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3, verse 10.